good morning. We're back. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. We had the story about Jeff Bridges. He made the announcement that he was going through a health crisis not that long ago, actually.
Yeah, it was just a few months ago. And he said sort of in the voice of the dude from The Big Lebowski, new bleep has come to light.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I was happy to see an article this morning, and it had a picture of Jeff Bridges hanging out with his dog. I see the beach and beautiful ocean water beside him. But apparently, things are moving in the right direction, and he's really starting to progress quite a bit in that his, is it lymphoma that he has, correct?
Yes, that sounds right.
Yeah. All right, hang on one second.
Okay.
I mean, for the love of God.
What's the matter, Steve?
If Tim Cook from Apple is out there, I would like to know how, when you choose an Apple News story, how you are able to scroll on it. Why does Mac make certain things so difficult? Why can't you just be normal?
Right? I agree.
I can't press down. I can't find the cursor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
Oh, really?
Apple has its own language. Once you learn it, though, it's pretty smooth, but it's definitely not too...
Yeah, like in our production studios here, everything's Apple, and I'm like, I'm out. I give up. I can't deal with this. It's so stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. You know, we all have Apple phones, you know.
I know. Well, it's, some of it is so user-friendly, and then occasionally you can't even find the scroll bar on the side, you know, like on the right-hand side.
Yep.
It disappears, and then you can't conjure it back. Short of some kind of techie seance, Jeff Bridges was diagnosed with lymphoma. What he said was that the tumor has, quote, drastically shrunk.
Oh, that's great.
He came home elated with that news.
Oh, that's great.
He's 71. He wrote this update on his website. But really, really great to hear that, and that he's able to. It looks like, if that picture is recent, he's got a buzz cut there. And I don't know if he lost any hair during his treatment or not, but because the last time that we saw him, he was sort of holding an IV bag, you know, holding onto one of those metal poles that they're on in the hospital. And he was in a hospital gown, kind of like the dude with the robe. And so this time, if this is a recent photo, he's got a big smile on his face, little puppy dog on his lap and the beach behind him. So hoping good things, but that's really good news for Jeff Bridges.
Excellent.
The tumor has shrunk.
Excellent. I have a story for Lord of the Rings fans. Amazon has been working on a big budget show, Lord of the Rings, and we have some details on it, okay?
Okay.
Get a load of this. They are dropping $1 billion on it, which is more than three times what they spent on the trilogy from 20 years ago.
Whoa.
Those three movies cost $281 million. But here's what we know as far as the synopsis goes. This is what Amazon says. It brings to screens for the very first time the heroic legends of the fabled Second Age of Middle Earth's history. Thousands of years before the events of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Beginning in a time of relative peace, the series follows an ensemble cast of characters, both familiar and new, where they confront the long-feared reemergence of evil to Middle Earth. From the darkest depths...
From the darkest depths...
...of the Misty Mountains to the majestic forests of the elf capital of Linden... Blah, blah, blah. You know, the kingdoms and characters carve out the legacies that live on. It's very wordy. There's no release date. It's expected to
debut. The movies are too, just so you know.
Oh, it's not even going to debut until next year.
Yeah, this is going to be quite an undertaking.
Five seasons. It looks like 8 to 10 episodes each. I think they want this to be like the next Game of Thrones.
Sure.
I have not seen any of these movies. But I am intrigued by the following.
Yes. And I think that you could get into it. Grant, I just put a little linky winky in there for you.
Okay.
So that we could maybe get Donna excited about it. Just with a song. Now, this song regarding the Misty Mountains, aforementioned, is from The Hobbit, actually. but it's really great. And this would give you, I think, the feel of, oh, this is an interesting world that I could delve into. And I think if you commit to it, you could see yourself enjoying
like
turning on the TV and then just sinking into this world.
I do like this.
Isn't it nice?
Yes, I want to meditate.
Have you seen The Hobbit? This is featured in The Hobbit.
I haven't seen anything.
The misty mountains cold.
I love it.
Oh, and I remember reading The Hobbit and reading these
lyrics. You do? You read The Hobbit?
I read The Hobbit. I read The Hobbit probably 8 years ago. Someone recommended it, and I never read it.
Okay, so
it's
what's the
wonderful
order?
Tale of adventure.
So first, Lord of the Rings.
The Hobbit predates Lord of the Rings. The Hobbit is the story of Bilbo Baggins.
Not the Bilbo.
The Bilbo.
Okay, but when the movies came out, didn't The Lord of the Rings come out before The Hobbit?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean chronologically within the story.
Okay, so should I watch The Hobbit? Remember I started watching Better Call Saul before Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Should I watch The Hobbit first?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think you need to. I don't think it matters. You can, but in The Lord of the Rings, Bilbo Baggins is old. And then Frodo Baggins, played by Elijah Wood, is the young one in this one. You could watch either. But I think that when you start one, maybe just commit to that trilogy.
What's the third one?
Or The Lord of the Rings.
What's the third one?
The Hobbit, and there's not a third one. I'm saying commit to a trilogy. There's a Lord of the Rings trilogy, and there's a Hobbit trilogy.
Oh.
Commit to one of those trilogies.
Oh, so
don't
there's
go Lord
six
of the Rings.
Movies?
Yeah. You got it, sister.
Oh,
that's a big commitment.
I'm out.
No,
because
no,
they look long, too. They look like they're 4 hours apiece.
Yeah, are. The Return of the King is like three hours or maybe
D-Val
more.
Out.
Bye.
Bye.
Cliff Notes.
Oh, man. That's very nice.
Misty mountains.
You guys.
What?
If you are a fan of The Sopranos and have been waiting for The Many Saints of Newark to come out in March, bad news.
Hmm?
Been moved to September.
Wah, wah.
So that kind of sucks.
Is that a prequel or a sequel? I forget.
It's a pre.
Pre. Give me the pre.
Yes, because remember, James Gandolfini's son is going to play a young James Gandolfini.
Bilbo Baggins, as it were.
Yes. But completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Oh, really looking forward to Throwback Thursday music trivia coming up at 11:30.
Oh, me too. It's going to be great, and it's a new material that we have that we debuted last week, and we all find out the answers together. Usually, I know all the answers prior to, but this time around, we all learn it together. It's fresh, it's fun, and everyone's talking about it.
Okay, that's at 11:30. But when we come back, we've got a couple of pandemic studies. Were people more productive or less productive while working from home? We'll tell you about that. And are you planning to do something big after you get vaccinated? We'll tell you how many people are coming up in according to a new study on My Talk. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Donna.
We should give a quick thank you to Chill Boys for supporting the Donna and Steve podcast.
Oh, we have got love for Chill Boys. It's a Minnesota-based company. They offer the best men's underwear that I have ever put on my body.
Yes. Boxers and briefs for men, that's true, but women love wearing them too. I actually put on a pair of boxers this weekend while cleaning the house. Ah. I could not believe how cool they felt, like continuously cool.
So here's what's happening with all of that. It's the fabric. They use super soft bamboo fabric. We're part pandas now. So you can keep the boys cool and dry. It's softer than cotton, I'm telling you. And if you're really active, helps fight odors as well. Yep. It is game changing. Covered, Donna, this is real life. It's soft, it's cool, you'll love them.
And hey, ladies.
Ladies.
Try them for yourself or get some for your guy. There's perks for both of you. Check them out at chillboys.com. Chillboys.com.
Truly an amazing product from a great local company right here in Minnesota. Chill Boys, comfort where it counts.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment. Donna Valentine and Steve Patterson, we are study buddies.
Several long-term studies have shown.
They've studied the studies.
Several scientific studies have shown.
And here with their findings are study buddies.
The perfect nerd couple.
Donna and Steve.
Hey, man.
Hello, Donna.
Hello, Steven.
How are you?
Real good. Real, real good. I got a couple of studies, and both of them are pandemic related.
Are they going to make us feel bad or feel good?
I think we're going to feel good.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
According to a new study of people who have been working at home full time since the pandemic started, get a load of this. 67% say they've been more productive than they were before.
Well, when you cut out the chit-chat, when you cut out camaraderie, which are valuable things in a workplace.
Yeah, overrated.
But when you do when you do that, then you have, you just, if you find a good spot in your house, you can really get after some work.
Yes. You know? And some of the reasons are more family time keeps people motivated. Taking the commute out of the equation.
Yes.
You have fewer interruptions, basically what you're saying. And then that creates a better work-life balance. Also, this study has found that 41% of these people surveyed say they work fewer hours a week now that they're so much more efficient.
I was actually going to wonder if they said that they worked more. I dig that. I'm happy to hear that. The downfall, and I'd seen a study on this a few months ago, that people were working longer because there wasn't the normal rhythm of a work day to tell you, now we do this, now we do that. And I guess in some other ways it could sprinkle throughout your, you don't have a closed time that you leave the office. And so when you're working out of home as your primary office, you could be doing work at odd hours that typically you wouldn't be if you were in a brick and mortar. But I'm happy to hear that. I think that the pandemic has been a great eye opener for employers of all sorts of businesses, that you can be much more mobile. There are people who are accepting jobs now because they don't have to relocate to Boston or to Florida, because they can do it right there. They can do it at wherever they live. They don't have to move. You can be efficient. What do I say, Donna? What do I say?
You say time spent something or other is more something something than the other thing.
Listen to this and remember this, everyone. Never forget it.
Write it down.
Productivity over presence, impact over hours.
Thank you.
The old school way was Bill still at his desk at 5 o'clock when I left? That is old, archaic thinking. The thinking should be, did Bill have a big impact today? I don't care what hours he was here. Did he have the impact that we expect? Hopefully more. Was Bill productive today? That should be what leads us. Don't let the tail wag the dog.
Okay. Sorry I blew up.
I'm glad I get to come in, because I would not. I'm one of those people that would not be able to focus if I was at home. I would have my dogs. I have really bad, like I told you guys, like my friend put that sticker on me and says, do not talk to me because I have no self-control.
Yeah.
It's very true. So I need structure. I need what Steve was talking about, that line of things. And if I get it done faster and more productive, great. But I still need that conductor, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
I think it's a mixed bag.
I do too.
Now, working in this closet is good because I can just close the door. I'm in the closet that's in the bathroom that's in the bedroom. I'm three layers of drywall from my family.
Right.
But even in prepping the show, when I started just doing the radio show out of the house, I would do that down at the dining room table. And then that way it's like, okay, the kids, everybody have breakfast ready, great. And then they're just too scatterbrained for me to be around most mornings while prepping the show. So now I do the prep up here as well, because I realize I can be so much more laser focused if I get up in a quiet room, just me.
Yep.
And maybe a little bit of jazz music.
See, and that's how I feel about work in general. And it's only because I've never really had a 9-to-5 job, you know, where you're constantly having meetings with coworkers and managers.
Right.
I do so much better when I work alone in silence. I can't have the chit chat behind me and just the.
I'm with you, Donna.
Really?
I have to put headphones on in the Twin Cities Live office. Because I just...
Yeah, that's a very small office.
And I just know my weakness, right? I know that I will... My brain is not...
Me
it's not
too.
Even that I'll jump into the conversation. It's that I... hear it and it penetrates my thin wall in my brain.
Yeah.
I then just my brain goes from productive to they're saying something.
Okay, easily distracted. Yeah. I'm with you.
You and I usually, we like try to get our little thing out and then we say, all right, let's stop talking. And let's like, I put my headphones on because we both can't like, we just know like, all right, let's not.
We need to focus.
We need to focus here.
Yes, exactly. Focus. Anyway, I have another study, pandemic related. According to this new study, this is also of people. No, this is the wrong study. Okay. People are planning to do something big after they get the vaccine. That's the gist of it. Okay. Yes. 82% of people. So most of us are planning to get the vaccine and to do something big to celebrate after. A vacation, a nice dinner. 30% of people want to do something immediately after being vaccinated. 52% want to wait a little while. 19% say they're not going to do something big because they're so worried about money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get it. I think some people will just pop right back into, all right, we want to get the traveling done now and all that. And then the other side of that coin is, do we just play it safe for another year?
Yes.
And then if the job looks stable, if the economy looks good, if the pandemic is more and more in our rearview mirror, then 2022 is when we break free. What's your approach, Donna?
I'm somewhere in between. I'm really looking forward to a physical vacation, like physically traveling and going somewhere.
Right. You should go to like Fiji.
Oh, okay.
You know, that would be really cool for you to have like a real distant out of the country. I'm in a hammock. The sun is on my body. Get away.
Okay. Maybe a little Turks and Caicos. Maybe I'll go to Mumbai.
Mumbai.
I don't know.
I have a connecting flight in Mozambique way.
Somebody had sent us an email because I mispronounced that terribly, but I did premise it with, I don't know how to pronounce this country, that it was a Portuguese colony.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Speaking of bye, I want you to have enough time to do a deep hamstring stretch.
All right, I'm going to do it right now.
Before we do Throwback Thursday music trivia. It's going to be great. So this is where I quiz Donna. If you're a music lover or you just happen to be good at trivia, make sure that you stay with us because after the break, we will start Throwback Thursday music trivia. I'm going to whet everyone's whistle.
Yes.
I'm going to ask a question. I'll answer it after the break. Donna, your first question will be, what band did Jimi Hendrix tour with in 1967? Was it the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Grateful Dead, or the Monkees? The answer to that question and a whole lot more in Throwback Thursday music trivia next.
Hello, welcome back, and thanks for listening to the Donna and Steve Show Thursday edition, which means this.
Let's rewind, shall we?
Shall we?
Donna and Steve present Throwback Thursday.
We need to go back in time.
We gotta go old school.
Any questions about the old days?
Why, yes, there are. It's time for Steve Patterson to quiz longtime radio disc jockey Donna Valentine on old school tunes.
Well, this just sounds like a blast to me.
Steve, watcha throw it back, yeah?
Already before the break, I asked this question. What band did Jimi Hendrix tour with in 1967? Your options were the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Grateful Dead, and the Monkees. Grant, cue the music.
I'm going to go Grateful Dead.
All right. Now, remember, how this is I will learn these answers right along with you.
Okay.
So, Donna, usually I try to guide you in the right direction. I can't do that. Okay. Grateful Dead is her answer.
Yep. All right. I'm going to go...
The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Monkees. Could it be the Monkees?
I'm going to go Stones.
Just going to go Rolling Stones?
I'm going to go to the Monkees.
Are you going to go with the Monkees as your next one?
Woo!
Donna, really nice job.
Thank you.
We're going to lock that one in as your answer.
Okay.
Jimi Hendrix managed to get through a total of only 7 dates with the Monkees, culminating in his final show on July 17th, 1967, which may or may not have ended with Hendrix saluting the crowd with his middle finger.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
Cue the music. Which character in Hamilton sings the song, The Room Where It Happens? Is it George Washington, Aaron Burr, Thomas Jefferson, or Alexander Hamilton?
Alexander Hamilton.
Which character in Hamilton sings The Room Where It Happens?
Burr.
Nice job, Donna.
I don't like this version of the game.
Aaron Burr expresses his envy. Hold your comments until the end, please. You can let your feelings be known on Yelp. Expresses his envy of Alexander Hamilton's influence in the newly formed government and wishes he had similar power, wishes he was in the room where it happens, where decisions are made.
Where's the suggestion box?
What's your problem? This is great. People are loving it. People are clamoring for more of this.
Are you speaking for the people?
I always speak for the people.
All right. I'm the people person. You're the snooty TV guy, remember?
No, you're the sing for my supper millionaire sympathist. I am the man of the people. All right, how about this question? Cue the music. Who did the vocals for Pink Floyd's Great Gig in the Sky? Was it Vicky Brown? Was it Janis Joplin? Roger Waters? Or Claire Torrey? The vocals for Pink Floyd's Great Gig in the Sky.
I feel like this is a trick question.
Okay.
My gut is telling me to say Roger Waters just because he's the only member of Pink Floyd that you mentioned.
Is it? Are they trying to throw us off? Do you want me to hit the button?
Yes. Janis Joplin.
I'll hit it.
Aaron Burr.
All right, that was from our previous question. Our two remaining choices are Vicky Brown and Claire Torrey.
Claire Torrey.
Nice job, woo! Donna. Whew, you're locked in today. Great Gig in the Sky is one of the few Pink Floyd songs to use a female vocal. Mm. The band wanted a girl who could sing like she was feeling great. Their engineer, Alan Parsons, brought in a singer that he knew named Claire Torrey, who provided the hauntingly beautiful improvised vocal on the song. 30 years later, she would sue Pink Floyd over rights to the song.
What? Rude. What an ingrate, huh?
Oh, hey, Donna. We have to be on her side.
Okay.
What singer is known as the... Cue the music. Empress of the Blues? Is it Dinah Washington? Is it Ma Rainey? Is it Etta James? Or Bessie Smith?
Oh, God. I really want to see that Ma Rainey
the
blues.
Ma Rainey,
yeah,
really?
That looks really good.
Let's do Ma Rainey.
Okay. I see what we're doing. We're teaming up now.
We're buddies.
All right. Ma Rainey it is. It's Etta James. It is...
We got Bessie or Dinah. We got to go. Bessie or Dinah for the Empress of the Blues. Dinah Washington, Bessie Smith.
Bessie.
Honest to goodness, we have not gone... Like, we haven't fully gone through all of our options yet, so that's positive, right?
Yes.
This is going well.
This is great.
Bessie Smith, thanks for asking. The greatest of all blues singers, they say, is known as the Empress of the Blues, a protege of an earlier blues singer named the aforementioned Ma Rainey, played by Viola Davis in that Netflix movie, Chadwick Boseman's Final. She recorded during the 1920s, did Bessie Smith. Who was rocketed, come on, to superstardom in 1998 by the hit single Baby One More Time? Was it Madonna?
Mm-mm.
Was it Bey? Was it Christina Aguilera?
Mm-mm.
Was it Britney Spears?
Mm-hmm. Final.
Donna.
Wow, I'm incredible.
The album sold how many copies?
10 million.
13 million.
Wow, that's great.
Hit me, baby, one more time. Donna. I was vulnerable and sang that for you.
I didn't know I was going to laugh. It came out of my nose. My mouth was closed.
Cue the music.
Such a dork.
Which of Sheryl Crow's hit singles was adapted from the poem Fun by Wynn Cooper? Leaving Las Vegas? If It Makes You Happy? All I Want to Do? Or Soak Up the Sun?
I want to say all I want to do. Because it's kind of talky, you know, and it's all over the place. Sure. All I want to do is have some fun. All I want to do. Boom.
I think you're right.
Bam. Yeah!
Her producer, Sheryl Crow, bought her 10 random books of poetry, and then Crow adapted Fun to accompany the music. Cooper is listed as a co-writer and receives royalties from the song.
Oh, that's a fun fact.
Back when things used to be done the right way, right? Before, you know, Robin Thicke. I'm sorry, I like Robin Thicke. He's doing fine. So is Marvin Gaye's estate. What was the band known as Linkin Park originally called? Hybrid Theory? Zero, spelled with an X, like X-E-R-O. X-E-R-O? Reanimators? Or Meteoria? Meteoria. Meteora. Meteora, that's it. Like a meteor. Bye. Mozambique.
I'm going to go with Meteoria.
Meteoria. Reanimators? X-E-R-O? Hybrid Theory.
Hybrid Theory.
Come on.
Nope. That's an album. Those are their two albums, those last two.
Oh, these are Linkin Park album names.
Wait, zero.
Zero, Grant? What do we know about that?
I don't know. I honestly don't know the name. So I'm curious about this one, so let's hear it.
Yes!
Yeah! Woo! Getting them all right today.
While Linkin Park was at one time called Hybrid Theory, they started out as X-Zero or Zero. For legal reasons, they eventually dropped both of the original names and settled on Linkin Park, a deliberate misspelling of the Santa Monica, California landmark, Linkin Park. They spell it L-I-N-K-I-N. I think that's exciting.
Me too.
Do we have time for a couple more?
Yes.
All right. Let's just go out to general music knowledge. Are you ready?
Yes.
What are piano keys made out of? Ivory, marble, plastic, or porcelain? I think.
Well, they say tickling the ivory.
Oh, you're right, Donna.
Yeah.
Lock it in.
Ivory.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, maybe because it just looks like ivory. It's got to be porcelain. If it's flat, plastic?
Oh, my gosh. Is it marble?
No, that's too expensive.
You want me to hit plastic?
I don't know.
Plastic. Wow.
Wow.
Even though piano keys are referred to as the ivories, they haven't been made out of ivory since the 1940s to protect endangered species. Today, they are most often made of plastic or resin.
Hmm. Okay. I appreciate that.
Wow. Who is the only member of... Are you familiar with ZZ Top?
Yes.
Who is the only member of ZZ Top who doesn't have a beard? Billy Gibbons? That name sounds like a beard.
Nope, he's got a beard.
Frank Beard. Touch on the nose.
It's Frank Beard.
No.
I think it is. That's the irony.
Yeah, Donna!
Unbelievable. Nice.
Wow, that's
What instrument does he play?
The bass.
The drummer, you're right again.
Yes, how do I do it? It's insane.
Nice job, Donna.
Oh my God, how much money did I win?
Name one other member of ZZ Top.
Billy Evans. There's Dave.
Dusty Hill. And John Dyer Baisley. Are these guys' real names?
Yeah.
They sound like the guys from that beard show, Duck Dynasty.
Yes. Yes. They're a really good band. Really good.
All right, maybe we'll end with this one.
Okay, here we go.
Cue the music. How many pieces of wood...
Can a woodchuck chuck?
...are there in a modern violin?
Ooh.
Are there two pieces of wood? Are there 30, 15, or 70 pieces of wood?
I think they take a long time to make. It takes a long time to make a violin. So... my guess is it's got to be more than two pieces, right?
30, 15, and 70 are our other options.
I'm going to go with 30, Bob.
I'm going to lock that in as our final answer.
Yep.
This could be one of the only ones we've gotten right.
70, Bob.
Nice.
Yeah.
Donna, way to go.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Well, I guess next week, due to our Yelp rating, we will go back to the old format.
Okay.
And we'll see if Donna can continue her undefeated streak.
Okay.
Yet to get one wrong all year long.
Ah, you guys. There is a frozen caveman lawyer that has been spotted in a local park.
Phil Hartman.
I will tell you about it. And also, Seinfeld has been reimagined as a horror movie. We'll get to that, too, in the final stretch of the show, coming up next on My Talk. All right, back to the Donna and Steve show. Final stretch on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. Beware, there is a frozen caveman on the loose in a Minneapolis park.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm just a caveman. I fell in some ice and later got thawed out by some of your scientists. Your world frightens and confuses me. Sometimes the honking horns of your traffic make me want to get out of my BMW and run off into the hills or whatever.
All right. So apparently there is a caveman frozen in time standing by a trail at Theo Worth Park. And it's really fun. Have you seen it, Steve?
No.
People are searching for him now. There is one of the artists, his last name is Zach Schumack, is one of the artists who worked on this piece. And it was like a collective piece of art. And he built it. The caveman's name is Zug Zug. It was commissioned originally for an ad agency. And when they were done with him, the caveman was just sitting in his garage. And the timing seemed right, he said, to put it out into the world. So he's in a block of ice.
That's very funny.
I love it.
Would stop you dead in your tracks.
Wouldn't it? I mean, it is fantastic. And so it's just, you know, just something to get people talking and about things other than negative news items. It's great.
That makes me miss the Geico.
Right. Oh, I love those guys.
Those
are good.
They were fun.
We still have Jack Lynx, though.
We still have Sasquatch.
Yep.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Genius marketing, by the way.
Yeah, they know what they're doing over there at Jack Lynx.
Very funny. All right, that's what I have for you. In addition to this, Seinfeld has been reimagined by somebody as a horror movie called The Nothing. And so there's a trailer for it, and it's pretty good.
The sea was angry that day, my friends.
He blew his brains out all over the Pacific.
So many people in the world, deprived and unhappy.
You want some of what he got? Don't kill me!
Doesn't seem like it would be fair to be cheerful.
It's very visual.
Yes, yeah, you're seeing all of these iconic scenes, too.
This is a great ending to that, too. Yeah, so there are all these, you know, it's the music. It just goes to show that the music makes the difference.
Even the Kenny Rogers red light coming through Kramer's door from his peephole over to Jerry's door. It looks like a laser that's going to be taking him out.
I love it.
Did you like Seinfeld much?
I didn't when it originally aired, but in syndication, I had a boyfriend who loved Seinfeld. And so I was forced to watch it on a lot of days. And then I grew an appreciation for it eventually.
That's a very cozy show. If you ask me, something about it just being set in New York. Jerry's apartment always feels cozy. The laughs are old school comedy writing. It's good stuff. And Kramer. Do you get a better television character, supporting character, than Kramer? He's just everything. Almost every scene he's in, even if you don't laugh out loud, it's just amusing.
He doesn't even need to speak. He just walks in and he... that instant shake with his hair kind of bobbling on top. You know, it's like slide in. It's just he's there without even saying anything.
He kind of reminds me of Lenny and Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley. They had that same kind of impact in every scene.
Oh, sure.
Where people would laugh the minute they walked in the door because the two of them would walk in and just be like, hello.
Yes. In anticipation of what are they going to do? What's going to happen? One of the great episodes of Seinfeld is when Kramer was in an office building. When a busy office building, when a meeting was suddenly called and, you know, someone said, all right, well, we got to go to the meeting. And so Kramer just went and then he assumed a job at this place. And then for the next few days was just carrying out his life, wearing a suit, going to work. Jerry was upset because he wasn't coming over as much. And when he would come over, they didn't talk like they used to. Kramer opened his briefcase at one point. The only thing in it, a sleeve of saltines. It was great.
That's hilarious. Oh, so I love it. Our Facebook question today is, what's your pet name for your partner? We get some cute answers.
Have you ever done anything weird? Have you ever had a weird pet name for a partner?
No. Have you? It's always like, herp, burp.
Yeah, I mean, we do babe a lot. And we used to do, and we still do it from time to time, bud. There was a couple in high school, Jesse and Kristen. They didn't make it, by the way. They're alive, but they didn't get married. And they called each other Bud and Buddy. And I thought that seemed so sweet. I remember I was like 15 years old, and I thought, that is so sweet. So then when I got a girlfriend, we called each other Bud and Buddy. So maybe that's kind of weird.
Oh, that's cute. Claire says, his name is Moose. I'm Elk. Aw.
Okay. Oh, wait. We're not supposed to judge any of these.
No.
Hey, Moose.
Hey, Elk.
Princess.
That's funny. That's for him, though, I think, right?
Well, Victoria says, Princess, I have to do almost everything for him. Yeah, but he's trainable after 36 years, so that's the bright spot.
Jamie says, Cuddle Bear. He's 6'2", fully tattooed, and vocals for heavy metal, so the name fits him well.
Okay. let's see here. Oh, Stephanie says, my ex and I used to call each other Hooker.
Wow.
I don't remember how it came up, but it was endearing to us at the time.
Big Daddy and Babe, that's what Nicole says.
I put Big Daddy as my nickname when I was in 8th or 9th grade. A teacher gave us a sheet, Get to Know You, and it said nickname in a blank line, and I was like, I don't have a nickname. And I thought, oh, the power. So I put on Big Daddy, and he called me Big Daddy for the remainder of my time in high school.
That is funny. Big Daddy. Oh, you'll love this one, then. Barbara said, Poppy.
Poppy?
She calls him Poppy.
All right, bye, Poppy. Christina says she calls her boo Brett, Bert. Hey, Bert.
I love it. Hey, Bert. Oh, we can't say this one from Valerie.
Oh, no.
It's something that Mel Gibson called one of the police officers, the police station, the lady police officer. What are you looking at, sugar bleeps?
Oh, yeah. Careful with that.
That's
one.
What she calls him. That's funny. Oh my God.
That is good.
Let's see. Sweetie Yosemite, after Yosemite Sam. Here's Digger Map. That's not how Yosemite Sam talks.
Nothing like that. Carrie says her in-laws are from Chile and they call each other Gordo and Gorda, which means fat or fatty.
Oh, yes.
Gordo. That's what you call a woman.
Yes, Gordy's right beside me, actually. He just came in.
Hi, Gordy.
He's probably going to share something with me once we go off the air. I called someone Gordita once, just thinking Taco Bell. I was just thinking, it's something I like at Taco Bell. And I said, hey, Gordita. And she was like, no, you cannot say that. And I think it means a heavyset woman, I think.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Monkey pox, baby.
Yeah, it means chubby. Gordita.
What's that word? I'm afraid to say it.
I feel like that's on a Taco Bell menu.
It is. Gordita is.
That's why he called.
Yeah, that was why it was coming from a place of deep love and
warmth. Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
So sweet. Thank you, everybody, for your responses. We appreciate that. What does Gordy want? Why don't you ask him?
I don't know. What are you here to tell me? They're curious. Do you have an interesting thing to tell me? Oh, he wants to tell me a cliffhanger, a book that he finished. Oh. There's a cliffhanger at the end of it, so he needs to get the next one in the series.
All right. You go and get that cliffhanger.
Okay.
And we'll see you for a virtual meeting with our scary boss.
Yeah, we'll send out the Zoom link so any My Talker who wants to join can.
That is not true. Colleen and Bradley are coming in next. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 9. Thank you so much for listening.
I love you guys.
Stop it.
Deeply.
No.